Hello, welcome to the C-Suite Transformation Podcast. My name is John Guziak, and together with my guests, we will talk about what is the new dimension of leadership, how to activate digital organizations, and lead us and our organizations toward the future of work successfully. How can we truly future-proof our organizations today? Let's start our joint adventure. Let's reimagine the future together. Welcome back, listeners, to the C-Suite at Transformation. My name is John Guziak. I'm the head partner at Deloitte in the area of human capital. It's a pleasure to be with you. And today we have a fantastic guest. Her name is Katarzyna Biankowska, who is the HR director for ZF Group, Polpharma. Kasia, welcome.
Welcome, John. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. So, listeners, as we're talking about it, human capital is at the heart and the mind, basically, of most individuals today, thanks to the future of work. But we also need to recognize that we need to be thinking about what that future looks like. And the best way to be able to do that is really to have a chance to listen to leaders who've been experiencing, basically, their field of development for many, many years. Kasia, you've been with in the area of HR for close to 25 years.
Exactly.
Can you help our listeners to a little bit better understand your journey? And first of all, why you chose HR, and even more importantly, perhaps, why you've chosen to stay in HR for over 25 years?
Well, I've been in this profession for 25 years, and my first idea was to become a headhunter.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a kind of nose for talents, and I have always had a passion for people, and but my initial idea converted into the broader profession, which is HR management. And as you said, I've been in HR for 25 years. I work for different various industries. Mm-hmm. Telecom companies, financial services, insurance, and pharma.
Well, broad field.
Yes, I was actually lucky with the companies I used to work for, I don't know. Time flies very, very, very fast, and here I am.
Wow! And you mentioned the fact that you just enjoy people. What does people have to do with HR, and HR have to do with people?
HR, it's on one hand side, this is a profession, but this is also a mission.
Mm.
Right. So, okay. Profession is all about managing the HR processes, tools, knowledge, etc. But when you think about, you know, broader perspective and about the mission, that you have the chance to create a great place to work where people mm-hmm. are not performing only for money and for great results, but also for the satisfaction, and you have a chance to influence your stakeholders, leaders, to create a great place to work. This is kind of mission, because you are contributing to the, I believe, quality of people's life, or improving the quality of people's life by creating a place which are exceptional. And I remember when I was a board member in insurance company, and I was a part of transformation from the startup organization into the mature organization. And that time we were like six times best employer, so we were awarded by this amazing award. And I discovered, or I created this type of mission that time, because I it gives me a kind of higher purpose, that you can at the one hand on one hand side you can create a great business, but on the other hand you can create a fantastic place to work where people are high performers, but also are very happy, and they really are satisfied of being a part of this team.
It's a fantastic definition of HR, yeah, which is, you know, and as you said, it is a mission, yeah, because, you know, many people think, unfortunately, that HR is on its way out, or HR could be automized or whatever, but I think robots basically will never have the ability to understand exactly how to create a great place for work, yeah? Help us to understand, you know, HR has changed and evolved over many, many, many years. What have you seen have been the biggest shifts and changes in regards to HR?
The biggest shift, especially in Poland, I am observing in transforming from typical personal administration function mm-hmm. into the advisory role and being a strategic HR business partner. Mm-hmm. And the HR right now, especially right now, is playing a very important role while we are developing the business, transforming the business, or shifting the mindset of the organization, or if we want to really reinvent the organization. I think that every single CEO and the management board needs a strong HR professionals mm-hmm. to really do it, to support it, and to take a lead of that together with other leaders, right? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. When it comes to the C-suite, and due to the fact of due to the pandemic, on one hand, we needed a lot of medicine to support basically those, for example, who unfortunately were ill. And I think the whole world recognized that pharma is a critical element that's necessary for us to be successful. How has the pandemic changed, in essence, basically pharma from your perspective? And how does that impact basically the C-suite in regards to the priorities they have right now?
Mm. When I look at the experience we had in our company, being a pharmaceutical producer, mm-hmm. we feel even more responsible for the production we are doing. Mm-hmm. Because we are delivering products which are saving people's life. Mm-hmm. I would just give you a very simple example. You know, now we are vaccinating, you know, our people mm-hmm. or all the citizens, you know, around the globe. But in Poland, for example, Polpharma is the only producer who is producing the liquid which is diluting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So imagine that we don't have this.
Right, right. Yeah? Then you wouldn't be able
but
to.
But at the same time, we are producing like 42 products, mm-hmm. which are the only one in Poland and are critical for different therapies, right? So I think those pharma companies who are producing the mm-hmm. pharma the drugs, I think they were very much focused on business continuity and protecting the production from the outbreaks mm-hmm. of pandemia in mm-hmm. our pharmaceutical works. So it was actually very, very critical. But on the other hand, being really responsible for our employees, for helping the others during the pandemia and providing some medical help or ventilators. So we were also helping with this type of actions or support, whatever.
Wow. Yeah. And from your perspective, if we think about now moving into the actual future of work itself, is that one of the opportunities or one of the, I think, the challenges that you face is you have some individuals who are working, for example, in the office. You have other individuals that are working actually in the plants, the R&D. You have those that are actually, in essence, basically, you know, commercial, selling, in essence, to doctors and pharmacies. Many, many different types of people. How, in essence, are you designing that future of work to support the recognition that, in essence, is that people can be able to work in a much more flexible way? And the job market itself is almost requiring it.
Mm-hmm. So, we need to be really very flexible with our approach, although and adjust our approach to different types of employees. So production needs to be physically at work, mm-hmm. no discussion,
right.
And we protect them, we secure the continuity of the production. We even implement the testing, prior entering the plant. So this type of employees, this is a critical, group which secured the production. Mm-hmm. And our team, I think it's amazing because they did really during the pandemic and lockdown when everybody was sitting at home, they were coming to work, they were not afraid, they were coming and doing the job. They did really fantastic, work. The second group, and this is a commercial structure, mm-hmm. so we were very flexible, and we are still very flexible with the approach. When it was a like very strict lockdown, they were mm-hmm. working virtually, which was mm-hmm. very difficult for them.
Extroverts.
They sure. were promoting our products, cooperating with pharmacists mm-hmm. and doctors through virtual, mm-hmm. you know, channels, mm-hmm. and they succeeded.
Wow.
Right? It was pretty difficult, but they did. Now they are working. They are almost 100% mm-hmm. vaccinated, and they are working as normal. Mm-hmm. And then we have the third group of employees, let's say office employees. And of course, when knows the lockdown, this group, you know, immediately. You know, started working in at homes as everyone. Mm-hmm. So home office became to be, you know,
the norm.
The norm.
Sure.
Yes, and there were some functions or some groups of employees who were longer than the others at home office because their place of work was, for example, in pharmaceutical works, mm-hmm. and we wanted to prevent the production. They were not allowed to enter the plant. So we had a few functions. They work on home office, I think, for 8-9 months.
Wow.
So other offices, we were less strict. We implemented a kind of pandemic shift. It was, mm-hmm. you know, we were on full home office. Then we had a pandemic shift that 50-50 were shifting. Mm-hmm. But as of 1st of October, we introduced the hybrid model.
Okay.
Which is, I think, very well designed with respect how we are approaching also different group of people mm-hmm. among office employees. Mm-hmm. So we have office anchors, we have flex collaborators, and okay. we have digital nomads.
Okay.
So the
okay.
first one, they have to work in the office, or they want to, okay. you know, be in the office. Then we have flex, and we mm-hmm. decided to have a proportion 60-40. Office, home office, and okay. then we have digital nomads,
okay.
Which represents around 11% of this group, which are 100% working on home office modes okay. and occasionally coming to the office.
Do you see this as a big giant experiment, or do you think this is actually the kickoff to a completely new way of work that will be with us for now on?
I think this is the kickoff of the new reality.
Okay.
Of course, we decided to have a kind of trial for mm-hmm. 6 months, and okay. then we will see how we are going to continue. But mm-hmm. rather, we are going to tune our approach than come back to the, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, way of working.
Okay. When it comes to the future, 5-10 years into the future, yeah, and we think about basically. You know, one of the critical questions that is really coming out right now is those organizations that recognize that digital needs to be part of their DNA had a chance to kind of accelerate during, in essence, the pandemic due to many varieties of reasons. In essence, every organization needs to be digital today. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
I think that to a certain extent, we all are in a positive way, forced to be digitalized. Mm-hmm. So sooner or later, maybe it will be in 5-10 years, we all are going to be digitalized. Although, as far as I know, there is no common definition. What is digitalization? Because even some CEOs, they think that if I know how to use computer and Teams, mm-hmm. it means that we are digitalized. But it's not about that. Uh-huh. It's all about, you know, how we are cooperating, using new technologies, how mm-hmm. we are also managing different processes, how we implement simplicity, agility, and lean approach into the way how we are cooperating. Through and technology is helping us with that. So, mm-hmm. We humans, we can take, you know, we can make the most of it and benefit. This is all about it. And I think our life, especially business life, definitely is easier when we decide to consciously digitalize or reinvent our organization towards digitalization, right?
No, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, as an HR director, that you feel very comfortable with this word. I can see it. Yeah. And I understand we just recently had a webinar discussing basically this this journey of digitalization with HR. Can you share a little bit more for our listeners about what was the journey that you took first personally in regards to, you know, choosing to move HR into digital, and what exactly was that project, and what was the kind of the key outcomes that you learned from that whole process? As you said, is the definition of digitalization is more than just using the computer and knowing how to use Teams.
Exactly. Well, 4 years ago when we launched the implementation of HR IT system, we didn't talk about digitalization somehow, so it was not so common as nowadays, right? So we had, I think, one purpose, that we want to increase the efficiency of our organization, that we want to create one source of data in the e-cloud environment. We would like to also look after our employee experience and to make their lives easier, but also reinvent somehow the role of HR, eliminate a lot of manual work, and instead of having 14, you know, different application systems, to have everything in one system. And of course, we are talking about large scale organization, because in Polpharma we have 7,500 or 400 employees. So the scale is huge. So the way how you are managing HR processes and data and flows and how you make a decision, I think it's critical to have such a system which is supporting you. And we are lucky that we made this decision prior pandemic. We didn't know that, you know, in 2019 when we go live, we didn't know that in 1 year time we would
most of us be home,
exactly,
working from home.
So now I can tell you that this system saved our life.
Wow.
You know, because, you know, we were capable to manage large scale processes, HR processes, such as salary review, performance management, or annual appraisal, or budgeting, absenteeism management, all through the system without leaving our homes.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So it was done. Everything was done, you know, virtually through the system. And the system is working 24/7. And you can access the system, you know, anytime you want.
Wow. So from that perspective, is that investment in the courage, as you said, there wasn't a definition of digital, or it wasn't being used, but it was actually, these are the business problems that we want to solve. We believe technology is the way to be able to do it. And then ultimately, the fact is you've actually seen the actual benefit of it. For those in the C-suite who are thinking about a transformation and thinking about how can we more effectively digitalize basically HR, what advice would you give them?
First of all, don't be afraid to make a decision about any type of, you know, digital projects or the system implementation, because it will pay off.
Okay.
It will completely change the landscape of your organization, the way how you are making decision, you know, the quality of data you need to make you know, effective decisions, and improve the efficiency of the I think workforce in general. I can tell you that my team, HR, is performing much better, and is not as frustrated as it used to be prior the system implementation, because we did a lot of not added value tasks, a lot of manual work, preparing a lot of spreadsheets. You know, then you have mistakes. Then, you know, just you dedicate a lot of your time for not added value
activities.
And the system, when you have really the guarantee of the high quality of data, and also a lot of transparency with regards to structures, data, flows, who did what, It's just beautiful.
It makes your life easier.
It makes your life easier.
Right.
Although it's a really tough decision to make a decision about the investment for the system, and also the investment of your resources and the whole organization for the implementation, because it is the investment, and you need to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, it's like an investment in the system and the processes and the design, because if you don't design it properly, you are going to have even more problems. But at the same time, it sounds like there's a lot of change management as well in such a project. Or is it just enough to do the technology?
No. It's you need to really look after the change management almost from the very beginning. So we started the project in October, and I hired the change manager in January.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So after 3 months, almost 3 months after the implementation phase, and the whole concept preparation, the communication, the training materials, the also, I think you need to really make a lot of efforts to prepare the organization for a change, especially managers, and it requires time.
So, can you give me more examples of what the managers were facing, or how they were looking at this technology, and now how they look at it?
Yes, I will give you. So, first very important thing is that this is not HR system. This is the company system, which is supporting managers, employees, or employees, managers, and HR. So it means you, in Workday, now we have Workday, the roles are changing when you implement the system, because in Workday, the manager is initiating most of the process. For example, when you want to hire someone, when you want to reward someone, when you want to, you know, accept the home office, whatever. There is a first, you know, impression that the manager has a lot of work to do because he's an initiator. Prior the system, implementation, HR was doing all this, right?
So I would call HR and say, I need to hire someone.
And the HR will prepare the table, the HR will prepare that, or the HR will start. And that, now you receive a monit, you don't need HR, you need to, you receive a information. Okay, now you are starting, for example, the performance management review of your team, right? Or for example, if you want to fill in your vacancy, then you need to proceed in the system, all the steps, and then follow the decision, you know, process. So all these are, so the role of the manager somehow,
changed.
That's why they were so unhappy, because at the very beginning, they thought that we actually moved a lot of, you know, tasks from HR on the managers or business side, and they were complaining. So, but now there are, the point of view is slightly different, because first of all, we invested a lot of time to train them, to support them, to also to listen to their feedback, to simplify certain processes, because since launch we have been working on all the processes and improving the system all the time.
Great.
The change management, what do you, you know, how they can leverage the system, you know, to the maximum, it's important, you know, and support them when they are learning. So it took us between, you know, 6 months up to 1 year. The first year was very important for a change management, first of all. Secondly, you need to, when you are developing the system, you need to also, in a very simple and friendly way, educate the organization how you can use it, how you can make the most of it, and have a special channel of communication, like we have HR News, where every single change, like or simplification or reminder, we are just communicating with them, or organizing the webinars and prepare short trainings, how to really learn it, And prior launching, we did separate individual sessions for our top management and management board. So So it was also very important to have a buy-in of of senior leadership team.
It's amazing because it sounds like you recognized that at the end of the day, though it wasn't the technology that really the technology was critical, but if the people weren't changing the way they look at their work, if they weren't thinking about how they would need to do their work differently, as you said, their roles were not different, then it would be like, for example, playing football and you actually are playing soccer. I mean, it'd be quite uncomfortable, yeah? Can you give an example of a manager who was like really against the system? And I understand recently you had a quite big celebration just a couple of weeks ago. Help us to understand that.
Oh, well, that's true. We had I don't want to, you know, call them by names, but
sure.
But I had a few managers who were very much business oriented, and they were very unhappy when we were launching the system because they had, you know, more work to do. And that's true, you know. Recently, we were awarded by the most prestigious Polpharma Award.
Wow, congratulations!
Thank you very much, Bursztynowy Galler. Galen and Amber Galen, and my team was awarded with this prestigious,
wow,
you know, award. It was interesting that this is a fact that those who were very much complaining at, you know, at the moment of launching, now they were approaching, you know, my team saying, "Oh, guys, you know, it's really an amazing journey. First of all, secondly, the system is really our friend. It's a part of our life. Now, nobody is talking about system. Everybody is talking about things we are doing or which type of processes we are launching and which type of data we need to, you know, prepare, aggregate. But no one is talking about Workday that nobody is questioning that.
So it's not an additional part of my life. It actually is part of my life.
It's part of my life. It's my friend. Now in my mobile, I can just push the button and do my work and execute all the tasks which are in my inbox.
And ultimately, the fact is, if the CEO has a question, you can be able to help him answer it relatively quickly. Yeah.
Yes.
For those listeners who are just starting their careers, yeah, because we do have many listeners that are kind of starting their careers, and looking into the future of where, in essence, basically we are going from a skill perspective, what suggestion would you have for basically our younger listeners as far as their career, about how they can develop, where they should be developing their time and effort in regards to basically the future, especially if they wanted to work in HR?
Oh, my gosh. I can say that the young HR professionals who are coming to for interviews, they are really very well educated and experienced. I think what they need to consciously develop is patience.
Patience, okay.
Patience, and because theory is slightly different than reality,
okay.
And HR, I think this is a beautiful profession, but requires a lot of mental stamina and also a lot of kind of understanding how I can influence the organization on one hand side, and how I can, for example, help my employees with doing things. Or I don't know whether I'm precise, but this is a role when you are just in the middle. And on one hand side, you are looking after the employee, but on the other side, you are looking after the interest of the company. So I think it's very important how you are positioning yourself as HR. You need to be integral with yourself, and secondly, you are HR. I position HR that it's a role when you are constantly as a change agent, right? So this is a privilege, but also this is a kind of it can be overwhelmed.
Okay.
Yeah. So for those young HR professionals mm-hmm. who would like to really take this journey, and that's why I recommend them to invest in their mental stamina okay. and their personal development, that they are good listeners, mm-hmm. that they understand human processes, how mm-hmm. people behave, how you can help them with in such situation when fears arrive, mm-hmm. you know, or even if you need to convince your stakeholders about this or that solution, because it's also negotiation and selling. So mm-hmm. HR is not only about people itself, but also about developing other business skills. Mm-hmm. And of course, in HR, you have different functions, so we cannot generalize, because you have personal administration, payroll, and this is hard HR, mm-hmm. hard part of HR. Then you have HR business partnering. You have very important functions like compensation and benefits, mm-hmm. learning and development, or talent, or people talent development, mm-hmm. people capital development, whatever, you know, you can find, you know, a lot of different names. It's compensation, benefits, and systems.
Oh, yes. Systems.
Uh-huh. Systems. When you're maintaining the data, where you're managing the data, mm-hmm. et cetera. So when you look at the at such a broad scope of functions within HR family, each of them requires slightly different
specializations
and focus. So I'm talking more about
mm-hmm. the kind of the overall general view that, as you said, mental stamina, the ability to represent the organization, but also to be able to be able to listen to the people, irregardless of comp and ben. I think that pretty much everybody would need to have those skills.
Yeah, and you know, everybody is expecting that HR will help them. So to mm-hmm. help others, you need to really be strong
yourself
as mm-hmm. yourself as a person, mm-hmm. and you need to look after yourself, and also be in balance. Mm-hmm. It's important, because otherwise you are not credible HR business partner.
You know, it's interesting, because I think during the pandemic, and many talking with many many individuals, they mentioned that HR was actually a support, and that. But then when I would talk with HR leaders, they would say, you know, first, you know, put on the oxygen yourself before you put it on the other employees. Meaning, we need to actually recognize that itself. One question about the future of HR. You know, we've gone from administration to human resources to HR business partner. What do you see as the name of HR 10 years from now? Do you think it'll still be human resources? Do you think it'll be human capital? What would you consider would be the new name if we were to change it?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller, but I don't know. It's moving into human capital.
Okay.
People capital, and it's all about being human. Mm-hmm. And looking at people like not only through numbers and results, mm-hmm. but also take responsibility of improving the quality of life, by the way how we are organizing work, the way how we are managing them. So all the leadership, you know, issues mm-hmm. are very critical, and how we trust them, basically, right? Okay. But I think there is an urge to really look after the kind of human face of people at work, workplace.
And that's the tremendous sense of belonging. Yeah, this need for us to feel more connected, not by technology, but from people to people.
Yeah, and everybody is right now talking about harmony, because we were very much mm-hmm. get out of our comfort zone due to the, you know, pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's all about somehow, I don't know, capability of reinventing yourself and support people with this reinvention. Mm. Yeah, and I think the employers, they need to take a responsibility for helping the employees to reinvent, to help them to reskill, upskill, because everybody is talking about digitalization, mm-hmm. and you can feel threatened. Mm-hmm. When you feel that, because mm-hmm. say, okay, I'm gonna to lose my job if mm-hmm. I don't understand what is the digitalization, So I think that we should really be mindful what we are doing, with our human capital, actually, starting from now, going forward.
It's interesting because in the recent Deloitte insights about kind of the four scenarios of where we're going between the employer and the employee, one of the critical things that we kept seeing was, basically work is fashion, is this whole idea of how do we just entertain people to want to work for us. But we also can really see very clearly that one of the scenarios is that people will want to actually be in, they will expect their company to invest in their skill sets, irregardless of whether it's needed at the time for the job itself. And I'm curious, do you see in the future kind of an investment that people have for them to choose where they actually want to spend their time and investment in regards, for example, to learning and development? Or because I think in the past we saw learning and development as you have this type of job, this is the type of skills you need for that job, and now we're going to, in essence, skill you for that. Whereas what we're now starting to see is that people are saying I would like to have not only that skill set for my job right now, but I would like for my company to help me to be prepared for the new technology or the new future.
My approach is as follows, that mm-hmm. I recommend to invest for those who are motivated to change,
okay,
to upskill, to reskill, to take to start the new journey,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because otherwise it's a wasting of your money,
mm-hmm.
and time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is my perspective, and I've been implementing this formula for a long time.
Okay,
but although currently when you look at the talents are managed,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so you are not selecting the talents, or because usually it was like a top mm-hmm. down decision. Okay,
right.
You are a talent, so now you go for this and for that training,
right.
and after this investment, this individual was not promoted, or I don't know,
uh-huh. they were got lost in the system.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. were different scenarios. I mm-hmm. don't want to criticize that, but when you look what other companies are doing, or many companies are doing, they are saying, okay, we have such a program.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to apply?
Mm.
Do you feel inside that you are a talent? Do you want to take an extra effort mm-hmm. to apply for this, to prepare, to be a part of the project, et cetera, et cetera? So it's also, it's all about activating or enhancing mm-hmm. people's motivation to do an extra mile, that
mm-hmm.
I am
mm-hmm.
responsible for my mm-hmm. development.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that on the other hand, the employer can or is obliged to create a space for this
mm-hmm.
and to present or promote different possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But the decision of the development should be on the employee side. Otherwise, I don't know. I've recently listened to the great example of my HR colleagues from banking industry, and
mm-hmm.
she said that they announced a program, robotic process automation specialization,
sure.
and the two specialists from her personal administration team applied for this job,
wow.
took a part in a few months training,
uh-huh.
and become to be a specialist in this team.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's amazing. And I am very much promoting this approach.
So rather than just the career ladder and going in one direction, the idea is that people's personal motivation will carry them farther, just like you did with 25 years, not just being in one industry, but in many. So if as I always do at the end, as I always say, as listeners, we thank you very much for the opportunity to be with us today. And we'd like to give you a gift, and that a gift is a question. Kasia, from your perspective, what do you think is a question that the C-suite and leaders themselves should be asking themselves?
I have one very interesting question for you. Are you really ready to reinvent your organization without a pandemic forcing you to do it?
Wow.
Because when you look at the changes around us, and
mm-hmm.
it was really, you know, how we were somehow forced to do certain, you know, actions, decisions, et cetera, et cetera. But without pandemic, you know, to which extent are you really ready to reinvent your organization? Do you really need a pandemic? Pandemic, you know? So this is the...
What a fantastic question. And, you know, again, it's this whole idea of as we're moving into this new way of work, we need to really stress that this is new, that it's not just an adaptation or kind of a fine-tuning, but we really need to have that kind of new understanding that where we're going and how we're getting there needs new ways of working, new mindset, and new experiences. And, you know, it's amazing to hear your story today, you know, having worked in so many different industries, but still being passionate about HR. Probably, you know, if there's one thing I'll remember from our talk today, it's this mission of HR. And the recognition is that every day you're doing something to not only make the business more successful, but everybody's lives. And if we can wake up in the morning and say we've done that, I think we can be pretty excited. Kasia, thank you so much for our conversation today. Listeners, again, it's our pleasure to be with you to discuss basically the C-suite at Transformation. How is human capital making a difference in the world? Kasia, what a wonderful opportunity to talk with you today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to our conversation today. If you like the podcast, I encourage you to subscribe. See you in the next episode and stay tuned and enjoy creating the future. You can find this and other episodes on the most popular podcast platforms and on the Deloitte.com podcast page.